I want to talk about seven blessings of faith this morning. Last week I preached from Mark 7:22 on have the faith of God. And today I'm going to preach on seven blessings of faith. And in these verses that I read to you this morning, how that woman from Canaan came out there in verse 22 and cried unto him saying, have mercy on me, O Lord. Son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. He didn't answer a word, not a word, not a word. And faith, we'll talk about faith. Faith is what a blessed, blessed gift God gives to people when He gives them faith. I know what it was like when I didn't have it. And it's become so precious. Faith is so precious. There are several precious things in the Bible. And it's faith that makes Christ precious. How precious is the Lord Jesus Christ? We couldn't begin to tell you how precious He is, but I know who He's more precious to than anybody else. That's His Father. Oh, how precious He was to His Father. His Father would love Him and love us. And I tell you, He's precious to us that believe. Oh, He's special. He's precious. Precious to our souls. Precious to our minds. Precious to our wills. Precious to our understanding. Oh, He's precious. And it's His faith that makes His blood precious. How much could we say about the blood of Christ? What could we say about it? It cleansed us from all our sins. And God gave His Son to shed His own blood. And He said, it's the blood that maketh atonement for sin. And oh, the blood of Christ. I tell you, it's what the blood is what makes our conscience clear. It's the blood that what cleanses us from our sin. It's the blood that God says, when I see it, He said, I see it. I see it. I'll pass over you. I'll pass over you. And it's faith that makes the righteousness of Christ precious to us. Because that's the only righteousness that there is. Men can talk about their righteousness, talk about the righteousness they're going to accomplish. Talk about, you know, when they get to the end that they'll be accepted because they've done righteous deeds. But I tell you, the only righteousness that God approves of, the only righteousness God gives a man, is the righteousness of His Son. Amen. That's the only righteousness there is in this whole universe. I'll stand before God only on the righteousness of Christ. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness, not to anybody that does anything, but for him that believes. Believes. And I'll tell you something else that faith does. It makes the promises precious. You know, Peter says this precious promises. Let me give you a promise. Just let me give you a promise right off the top of my head. It says in John 6:37, all that the Father gives me shall come to me. That's a promise. That's a promise. All that the Father gives me, they're going to come to me. Here's a second promise in that verse. And him that cometh to me, I'll never cast him out. He may sin like David. He may get drunk like Noah. He may curse like Simon Peter. And he may deny his Lord. But our Lord Jesus Christ said there's nothing that he'll ever do in this world, once he's come to me, that I's nothing that he'll ever think, say, or do that'll make me cast him out. You know why he said that? He says, because I tell you what, he says, they're standing in my righteousness. They have no sin. I put every sin that they ever thought could do, every sin that they were past that they've done, present that they've done, and the future that they'll do. Now, is that going to make us go out here and say, well, let's continue in sin that grace may abound? No, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that because the blood is too precious. Faith is too precious. Christ is too precious. And we're not going to do that. No, no. And I tell you, no wonder, that's another thing that's called. It's called, faith is called precious. It's called precious. Oh, how precious it is. Because faith brings life, Christ, to us. And then this Canaanitish woman, this Syrophoenician woman, faith is made so clear to us and so plain to us. And there's seven glorious truths about her faith that was given to her here. And I'm going to give you one. I'm going to tell you the first blessing of faith. First blessing of faith. First of all, faith is given to the most unlikely people. Look what it says there in verse 22. He's up in Tyre and Sidon. And a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast. When it talks about the woman of Canaan, that means she's a Gentile. She comes from a cursed race. Did you know that? She comes from a race that's absolutely cursed. God cursed them. Now you keep Matthew here and look over in Genesis 24. Look in Genesis 24. Look here in chapter 24 and verse 3. Oh, she's a Gentile, a godless pagan, a Canaanite, a child of a cursed race. You remember Canaan when the Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and then Canaan came. And God said, he's cursed. Canaan's the one that went in and looked at his father. And here's Abraham. He said, oh, I've got to have a wife for Isaac. And then he said in verse 3, I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanite among whom I dwell. So he said, don't you dare bring me a wife of a Canaanite. Oh, should I dwell among a bunch of godless pagans here? And that's what she was. And the scriptures tells us, for you see your calling, brethren. You know, you can see how you called. How God called you. He didn't call many wise men. Oh no, after the flesh. There's a lot of wise men after the flesh. I mean, people after the flesh, you can't tell them anything because they already know it. Why do you try to talk to them? Oh, I know that, I know that, I know that. But I tell you, God, he chose the foolish. Foolish. He chose the foolishness of preaching, just like what I'm doing this morning. You sitting and listening. He called foolish people. People that had no sense. People that didn't know God. People weren't interested in it. He called the foolish. He called the unlearned. He called the weak. He called nobodies. Why? That no flesh should ever glory in his presence. And when you think about yourself, you think about yourself right now. Why in the world did God call you? Why did he call you? Why did he call you? What do you know? What do you amount to? What have you accomplished in life? Why did he call you? Huh? And oh, I tell you what. But I tell you something else about this. I mean, it's given to the most unlikely people. Ain't you one of the most unlikely people in the world when you start thinking about why in the world is God in? Why did he even look in my direction? Why did he consider me? Who in the world am I? That's what Jacob said. Who am I, O Lord? Abraham said, I'm dust and ashes. Job said, I'm vile. I'm a whore myself. Oh, that's what we were. And yet he said, why in the world would he look on me? Well, the same reason he looked on her. She was an object of God's eternal electing love in Christ. God loved her, chose her in himself before the foundation of the world. And the people who value faith, who value faith, is the people that possess it. And they wouldn't part with it for 10,000 worlds like this here. Would you give up your faith? I ain't going to give mine up. I know where mine come from.
Yeah.
I know who's the object of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know who has to sustain it. I can't sustain it by myself. I can't produce it by myself. I can't go and buy it. If I've got it, God gave it to me, and I ain't going to part with it. I ain't going to trade it for yours. No, you're going to have to deal with it. What faith you got, I'm going to keep mine. You keep yours. And I tell you, that's the way it is. I wouldn't give you 10,000 worlds like this and right here for that little bit of faith that God gave me. Wouldn't do it. Huh? You know why? Because God gave it to me. And He gives every man faith according to several ability. And I tell you something, second blessing of faith is this. Faith is born in the heart by hearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that? That's how faith, you know how faith is born, comes to a person's heart? By hearing about the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to see that. Keep Matthew again, because we're going to stay there. But look over here in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. I could quote this to you, but I think we need to look at it one more time. But also, you know, it says over in Mark 7:25. Now here it didn't say about hearing him, but Mark 7:25, you don't have to look at it, but said when she had heard of him, he was in a house and a lot of people was there. People was crowding around him. When she had heard of him, she came. When she had heard of him. And here's the thing, everybody's got, you know, look what it said here in verse 13, Romans 10. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a fact. But now then he starts to ask four questions. How then shall they call on him to be saved in whom they have not believed? If you don't know Christ and ain't believe Christ, how are you going to call on him if you don't believe him? And then, how shall they believe in him? Listen to this now. How shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? If you never heard anything about him, how are you going to believe him? If you don't know who he is, if you don't know what he did, if you don't know about his blood, you don't know about his righteousness, you don't know about his person, you don't know about his work, if you don't know anything about him, how in the world are you going to call on him? And that's a great, great fault of preachers today.
Yes.
That's a great fault of preachers. They'll have a person come into a service. First service they ever been in. They ain't said nothing about Christ. And yet they'll do their dead level best to get them to make a profession of somebody they don't know anything about. And the first thing they do is after they come in there, they'll get them busy doing something. And then after they get tired of that, they're right back out in the world, and they got to start all over again, just keep pumping people up, keep making people make false professions. And how many false professions will be wrangled out of men and women today? But I tell you what, and that's why people come in and say, well, you all do things different. I tell you what we do different. We want you to sit still and listen to what we got to say about Christ.
Yeah.
You know who he is? He's God's beloved Son. He's the Christ. He's Son of God. He was the eternal Lamb. He come into this world before the world ever began. He's eternal. And then that eternal Word come into this world and was made flesh. For one reason, to make God known unto us. A man cannot know God apart from Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
A man won't have a clue of what how a sinner saved if he don't know Jesus Christ. And if he don't know nothing about what took place on the cross, what happened on that cross? Is God making a valiant effort to convince people how much they love him? I love you so much that I gave my son. So listen. Because you know he loved you so much that he died. So won't you please come to him? No, I'll tell you why he died. If righteousness could come by the law or by any other way than through the Lord Jesus Christ, then he died in vain. But the Scriptures tells us that he, when he was on that cross, He was bearing a particular people's sin. He wasn't bearing anybody's sin. He was bearing the sins of His people. He said, for the transgression of my people was He stricken. He lays down His life for the sheep. And when you make this death particular, and not only particular, but it's effectual. It does what it was purposed to do. The death of Christ on that cross did exactly what God purposed it to do from all eternity. That goes back to that promise. All that the Father gives me. What? When did He give them to you? Father, they were thine. They belong to you. But you turn around, you gave them to me. What do we do with them? I want you to bear all their sins. I want you to bear all their guilt. I want you to bear all their shame. And I want you to take it on your own body, and then now what I'm going to do is I'm going to punish you in their stead. I'm going to make them die in you. And then you're going to be buried, and you're going to leave all their sins behind. And I'm going to bring you out of the grave, and you're going to come out by your own power. And then when you rise again and you go up to glory, you're going to go there to justify everyone whom I gave you. Huh? Oh, you know how it's effectual? Just look at yourself. It works, don't it? The blood of Christ works. The gospel works. Hearing of Christ works. Oh my. And then look what it says here going on in Romans 10. Let me say a few more things about this. So how are they going to believe in Him who they've not heard? And how are they going to hear without a preacher? You listen, you find me one person in the Scriptures that wasn't converted without a preacher. Just one. You can't do it. Sometimes it was only one person. Sometimes there's only one person. There's only Lydia down there by the riverside. It was only Zacchaeus up that tree. It was only one woman at the well. Bartimaeus was one man. But that's the way He gets them. One at a time. And then look what it says there now. And down in verse 17. So if you're going to hear, if you're going to get faith, mm-hmm. If you're going to have it, you know how it, listen to this now. It comes to where you are.
Yeah.
So it comes. And how does it come? By what, listening, what to what some preacher saying about Christ. And then you hear the Word of God. Yeah. By His own will begat He us with what? The Word of truth. Huh? Didn't He do it? Didn't He do it? Mm-hmm. So faith is born in the heart by hearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now how it happens or when it happens, that don't make no difference as long as you hear.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you something else she did here. Back over in our text now. There in verse 22. She's a Gentile woman. You know, the most unlikely thing to get faith. And is born to heart by hearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And look what she called Him. She called Him Lord. She said, Lord. You know what that word Lord there means? That means God. The Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New Testament. One and the same. One and the same. And she called Him Lord. She called Him God. She called Him Jehovah. She called Him Son of David. You're the one that come to be the Messiah. You one that come to be the King. And she had been blessed. Truth had been revealed to her. No man calleth Jesus the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And here's the third blessing. Oh, what a blessing it's only given to certain, born in the heart by hearing. And faith only always seeks only what God can give. Faith only seeks what God can give. You know what she is looking for? There in verse 22, she cried unto him saying, "Have mercy on me." She asked. She always, faith always seeks what only God can give. Mercy. Mercy. Huh? Oh my. She made no attempt to tell the Lord what to do. She made no attempt. She made no demands on the Lord Jesus Christ. She didn't claim any merit, come told what all she had done, what all she had accomplished. She just simply said and cried. I believe she was crying tears. I believe she was weeping. And she cried, "Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me." I tell you, sinners need mercy. I don't want justice. I don't want God to deal with me justly. He's already dealt with me justly in Christ. People say, I believe I'll stand on my own legs before him, but oh no, not me. Sinners need mercy. And what she's saying is, I'm a sinner. I ain't got nothing to bring. And that's why, Lord, just have mercy on me. I need mercy. My hope for pardon is mercy. My hope for anything is mercy. You keep Matthew 15. Look in Psalm 51. This is that psalm where Nathan had come and told David, you know, "You're the man. You're the man." After he had taken Uriah's wife, Bathsheba, and oh my, look what he says here. This is David, you know, after he had sinned and fell so grievously. You know what he asked for? He said, "Have mercy. Have mercy upon me, oh God. And do it. Not because I deserve it. According to your loving kindness." You're loving and you're kind. And listen to this now, "unto the multitude," and I love this term right here, "thy tender mercies." Tender, tender mercies. You know, if we show mercy, most time they're not very tender. But he says, "your tender mercies." You're tender hearted. You're tender towards sinners. Your mercies are so kind. Your mercies are so tender. Have thy tender mercies. And then he says, "let your mercies blot out my transgressions." And then he says this, after you've blotted them out, after you've had their tender mercies on me, "wash me, just wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin." And that's what this woman's saying. She said, oh, faith always seeks what only God can give. It's mercy. Mercy. And back over here in our text, what she's saying is, "I'm a sinner. Oh, Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. That's all I'm asking, for mercy." Ah, boy, I tell you, people talk about being mercy beggars. Oh, that's what I am. And she submitted to the will of God. And she submitted to the power of the Lord Jesus, confident in his ability to show mercy. Show mercy. How often, God only knows how many times we said, "Lord, have mercy." God only knows how many times we said, "Lord, please be merciful." Yeah. Oh, Lord, have mercy. How many times have we said that for ourselves and said that for somebody else? Yeah. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And then I'll tell you something else about faith is such a blessing. Here's the fourth thing about faith that's such a blessing. Faith can't be silenced. Once you start crying out, it ain't gonna stop. You ain't gonna stop crying. You're not gonna stop crying. Look what happens now. In verse 23, she asked for mercy, but look what our Lord did. He answered her not a word. He ignored her. He ignored her. Do you ever feel like God's not hearing you? You ever feel like the heavens is brass? You know, one person said, he said, boy, don't you ignore me. There are some people it's hard to ignore. Some people are hard to ignore. But the Lord ignored her. Now listen, she's sitting there asking for mercy. And what he answered her not a word. He never said a word to her. Now what if you was asking for mercy and you wanted salvation and you needed mercy and God just act like you wasn't there? Huh? Oh my. And then, oh my, he never answered a word. And then look what it says there in verse 23. His disciples come to him because evidently she has followed him around. And his disciples came and said, Lord, why in the world don't you send her away? She's aggravating us to death. She's crying after us. Like all these disciples are special. She's not interested in the Lord. She's just bothering us. She's aggravating us. Now you're talking about a bunch of arrogant men crying after us? You know. Oh my. Then they said, oh listen, shut her up, shut her up. That's what they told about Bartimaeus when the Lord Jesus Christ was going by. Bartimaeus cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they told him, they said, oh, they went over to him and said, shut up, shut up. Be quiet, you're making too much noise. You know what the scripture said? He cried the more. And that's what happened to her. Oh my, send her away. Lord, listen, would you ever tell anybody, would you ever send anybody away from Christ? But these fellows was going to do that. Send her away. We're preaching all we possibly can preach to get people to come to Christ, and these fellows said, send her away. Oh my. That'd be the awfulest thing. That's one of the most troubling things in the world to me, is people that will forsake Christ. We want people to come to Christ. We want people to embrace Christ. We want people to know Christ. We want people to submit to Christ. And these fellows said, send her away. Send her away. I was telling somebody the other day, next March I'll be here 43 years. And I've never, God's my witness, I've never brought anybody before the church and said, these folks sinned, and we got to need to deal with them. Never done that. I've never went to anybody and said, I wished you'd leave. I've never said to anybody, said, listen, you're such a burden, you're so aggravating, and you're such a headache to me, why don't you just leave? I've never done that in all them 43 years. I have seen some folks leave, and I was glad to see them go. And then I've seen some folks come, so glad to see them come. But oh my, I'd never, never, never try to keep somebody from Christ. But these men did. But oh my, what did she do? And then in verse 24, oh my, they treated her with contempt and arrogance. And then the Lord Jesus said to her in verse 24, And he answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She's confronted with God's sovereign election. I've got sheep and I'm only after them sheep. And he said, they're lost sheep, but I'm looking for them and I'm after them. Said, I'm going after them lost sheep. She was confronted with God's sovereign election. She never said a word about that. She said, that ain't fair. That ain't fair. That ain't right. And then look what she said. Oh my. Then she came and worshipped him. He ignored her, but she still kept coming. Told him to go away, but she kept coming. She said, he confirmed her with, I'm not sent to save lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then it says she came and worshipped him. She came and worshipped him. And now listen to what she cries. Lord, help me. Help me. Help me. I may not be of the house of Israel, but help me. Yeah. I know you're going after lost sheep, but help me. Help me. Help me. She would not give up her plea for mercy. She wouldn't do it. And here's the fifth blessing of mercy. Faith always, always takes its proper place before God. Look what she said. Look what our Lord told her in verse 26. Well, when she said, Lord, help me, he answered. He finally answered her. Finally began to talk to her. Finally addressed her. And that word, it's not meet. That word meet means it's not fit. It's not right. That I take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Oh my. It'd be awful to be called a dog, wouldn't it? But you know what she did? Look what she said in verse 27. She said, truth, Lord. Truth, Lord. That's true. That's true. Everything you say is just right. Oh, what you say is right. She acknowledged the truth our Lord set before. She acknowledged the truth of herself. She said, yes, Lord, you're telling the truth. You know, and here's the thing. Christ, he is the truth. Every word that ever come out of his mouth was absolute truth. But look what, and oh, she talked about the truth of the justice of his sovereignty in dispensing mercy. She said, truth, Lord. Truth, Lord. Tell you something faith doesn't do. Faith doesn't argue with God. Faith doesn't find fault with God. Faith doesn't bargain with God. You know how many people make bargains with God? I read a story the other day. True story. There was a young man. Got up in front of a whole crowd of people. And he was telling how he was an atheist and how he didn't believe in God. He said all kinds of blasphemous things about God. And he went on and on about how mean God was and how unjust God was and didn't need God. He went on and on about that. And he got a great big hand clap. Everybody just clapping and carrying on. When he got through doing that, there's an old man in that crowd. He said, there was a young man caught in a boat. And that boat was in a storm. And he was about to drown. He was about to perish. And I heard him when I went out there to go after him and said he was crying to God. Oh, Lord, help me. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, save me. That old man said, I found that boat, and I got that boy off that boat, that young man off that boat, and I saved him, and I brought him to shore. And he said, you know who that young man was that was crying for mercy? Lord, save me. Don't let me die. Save me. Please save me. Lord, don't let me perish. Have mercy on me. He said, that young man just stood up here and cried against God. He said, that's the man I just saved. Oh my, that's the kind of people God does save. Every one of us, one time or another in our whole life, we've hated God. And God came and took that hatred out of our hearts and put in a heart of flesh, and He put His love inside that heart. He put Christ in that heart. He put faith in that heart. He put everything that we need to know God in that heart. Huh? Oh my. And she never bargained with God. You know what she just did? She said, Lord, everything comes out of your mouth is true. It's true. It's true. Faith submits to the Lord, whatever He does. Todd, every time you talk to him about what he goes through and what Lynn's been going through, oh, it's all good. It's all good. That's all he ever says, ain't it, Shirley? It's all good. It's all good. He never says it's bad. It's all good. It's all good. Well, let me ask the fifth blessing of faith. Let me give you the sixth blessing of faith. Faith makes need an argument for mercy. Faith makes need an argument for mercy. Look what it says in verse 26 again. 27. He answered and said, it's not right that I take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord. Now, I love this right here. I love this. Yet the dogs eat the crumbs. Now, listen to this now. Which fall from their master's table. Not just the master, their master. The Lord said, you're a dog? He said, well, I'll be the dog. It don't bother me. Oh, Lord, you told the truth. She said, Lord, every master that has their own dog said they eat the crumbs that comes off that master's table. Their master's table. What she said was, you're the master. And I'll take any crumb you can give me.
Yes.
You just get, I don't care what the crumb is. And you know, she made her low character an argument for mercy. She owned that name dog. Dogs got to be fed. And dogs under the table suggest that the master had plenty. And you know, dogs will settle for anything. Or a dog will settle for any little old thing you give them. Huh? And you know what they'll do? They'll be so happy you gave it to them, and then they'll come back and give me some more. They'll be thankful, and they'll come back and give me some more of that. And oh, she said, I'm your do you? She said, oh, they eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Mm-mm-mm. Well, here's the sixth blessing of faith. Oh my, bless His holy name. Thank God for faith. It comes to Christ, looks to Christ, needs Christ. Faith always, always gets what it seeks. Faith here sought mercy. And guess what she got? She got mercy.
Yeah.
Faith seeks mercy, and mercy, it always gets it. You know, faith comes and deals it with and seeks necessities. We don't want anything but what's necessary for us. You know what's necessary for us? Mercy. For our sins, healing for our sins, freedom from our sins, life, mercy, and the will of the Lord to be done. That comes out of our mouth as much as it. We say this all the time. God willing, I'll see you. God willing, I'll be there. God willing, I'll do this, that, or the other. We ought not never say, I'll be there at this time or that time without saying, God willing. I'll tell you another true story. I was preaching a meeting way over in Clifty, Tennessee. And I come home that night and said, I'll see you in the morning, God willing, if the creeks don't rise. Well, the creeks rose and I didn't get to go. It rained real hard and the creeks rose. I went over, started over there and come up there and said, I'm not going in there. So I turned around and went home. And you know, that's what I mean. The Lord will it. God willing,
yes.
I'll do this. That's why I always say, God willing, I'll see you tonight. God willing, I'll see you Wednesday. It may be God's will that I'll see some of you, but I may not see all of you. It may be God's will that one of you would already be going to glory. And that'd really be wonderful. But oh my, Lord, when faith always seeks what it obtains, what it seeks, and we don't seek nothing but what God sees necessary for us to have. I don't want anything God don't want me to have. Do you? He gives us life, freedom. And the Lord Jesus, let me say this. The Lord Jesus always, look what she, how he answered her now there in verse 28. Then Jesus answered, said unto her, O woman. We still don't know her name. Don't make any difference whether we know her name or not. I don't have nothing. Then, O woman, listen to what he said. Great is thy faith.
Yeah.
You just would not quit. You just would not stop. I thrown every obstacle in your way. I've done everything and the disciples done everything to keep you from closing with me, but you just refuse to stop. You wouldn't go quit. Oh woman. Oh man. Oh brother. Oh sister. Great is thy faith. Huh? And then look, he said, be it unto thee for what you asked for. You willed for something to be done. And look what it says. And her daughter was made whole from the time he said it. Huh? Faith always honors the Lord Jesus by believing. And the Lord Jesus honors faith by giving. 7 blessings of faith. I hope that was a blessing. I hope all 7 of them was a blessing. I do, all 7 of them. Our Father, thank you for meeting with us today. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the truth. Lord, we stand on the ground you put us on. And we're not going to move off that ground. We're not going to move off it. We're going to stand right where you put us. And Lord, we're going to cry mercy day in and day out. Cry for your will to be done day in and day out. Cry, O Lord, for all that's necessary for us in this life, for you to grant it to us and do it for Christ's sake. Lord, open hearts, open minds, open understandings. Save your people in this place. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen. Jesus, 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 about that faith, Master, save. your Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something there is, ain't there? It really is. See you tonight, God willing.